Welcome to Hammer Don, the number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. I am Tone Diggs, joined in studio by the red hot gambling Pat McAfee.
How's it going? How you doing? Keep it moving. Who else is red hot?
Our Canadian friend, Bubba Gumpino.
It's the table, Tony. The
table. And host of the Lombardi Line. Host of the GM Shuffle Pod, host of the writer of the Daily Coach, writer at The Athletic, and former NFL GM and guru, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Attaboy, hi, son.
My man is hot. He's on fire. Called that game, Monday night game, had that nailed down. My man, I mean, just don't even go near him. I mean, he's on fire.
Listen, he is not playing scared. Mitt, if you can, please put up the results through 3 weeks.
Let's go!
Currently have Mr. Lombardi at 4-5 after his 4-2 start. I'm at 9-7. Pat is a red hot 11-5, and Gumpy is at 10-7. Not bad, not bad.
Is that good?
Is that good? Yeah. That's the best line of all. Is that good?
What a lucky little run I'm on here. These are the ones you got to enjoy, though, boys. Like, listen, when you're on a little bit of a heater, you have to victory lap this thing, because the other side of it's going to come. And when that day comes, I'm going to get dumped on by everybody in this building. So I got to enjoy the hot. You know what I mean? I got to enjoy the heat, Mike.
No, you know, it is what it is. You just enjoy it, and you know, you don't plan for the bad days to come. You got to stay with your process. It's your process that gets you to where you are.
It is.
Believe right. in don't, your process. You know, I believe in it. You know, I had a bad week last week, but you know, hey. I still believe in it.
Hey, you were on the right side, though. I mean, a play here or there—that's gambling. That's gambling, Michael.
Yeah, that's the one that bothers me. You know, it's when you go against. Let's take this weekend, okay, for example. Like, I texted you, like, why would I not play Baltimore and the Rams? Why wouldn't you tease those two teams? You know, why wouldn't you? I'm almost half tempted to take Baltimore and lay the 13 or 12. There's some 12 and a halfs out there.
All right. So for those of you who are listening and aren't familiar with the teaser, the Ravens are currently sitting at minus 13 and the Rams are currently sitting at minus 13. So you could tease that bad boy 6 or 7 points and you could get the Rams and the Rams and the Ravens both at 7, 6, somewhere around there against the Giants. And who were the Giants and the Washington football team, which if you get those two down to a touchdown game, seems like easy money, Michael.
You know, it does. And that's what scares you. It does seem like easy money. But I know that typically in most years, when you get those double digits, no one likes to go against double digits. But I'm not sure this is a typical year. You know, Philly today, for example. The Philadelphia Eagles had one receiver at practice today.
How does that even happen when you build a roster? Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They had one receiver at practice today, Greg Ward. You know, Hightower's hurt. DeSean Jackson's hurt. Jeffrey's hurt. So they're going to go out to San Francisco. There's seven-point dogs out there. Like, how are they going to make plays? You know, and I think bad teams, I think we can make money on bad teams. And I think the books are reflective of it. I think they've really given this a big jump. You know, I think there's a 3-point cushion in this thing that typically it would have been, you know, let's say the Giants would have been 10 and against the Ravens, it probably would have been, you know, probably 11-10 in there. But you're going to have to pay a tax. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, for the Rams and Giants, it started at 9. And then for the Eagles and Niners, it started at 3. And it's moved all the way up to 7 for there. And I talked about it. We talked about it a little bit on Pat's show. Like, for the Eagles and the Niners still have a plethora of injuries. So is that more an indictment on how the Eagles are playing, or does Vegas and the bettors believe that Shanahan is that good of a coach that they could win with whoever? And Mullins is, and whether Jimmy G plays or not, but Mullins is a more than decent backup.
No doubt. You know, and look, I think when you power rank Philly's power rankings are horrible. I mean, when you just go through Philly, you know, I have Philly – slightly, like the DVOA on Philly.
Whoa, what's that?
And I only bring that up because
what's a DVOA?
I use that as my as a kind of a measure against my own rankings. So what I try to do is rate all the teams.
What's a DVOA?
And then I go look at DVOA and see where they have a team. Like I have the Eagles at my numbers on the Eagles are 22. DVOA has them at 29.
Michael, what's the DVOA?
Huh?
What's the DVOA for the listeners?
DVOA is a website, Football Outsiders. It's kind of an analytical way to evaluate a team. I'm not saying I agree with it because most of the time I typically don't. They have the Chiefs, for example. They have the Chiefs as the ninth best team in the NFL. Okay, so I don't necessarily. But again, remember, there's noise and then there's information. And I think this is a little bit of both here. So I take it and I only use it as kind of a comparison. So I want to see where, like, for example, I have Kansas City as the number one ranked power in my power rankings. You know, so I'm off on them. I have San Francisco 2. They have them 3. I have Indy 3. They have Indy 1.
Really? Let's go.
I have Baltimore 4. They have Indy 6. They have Baltimore 6. I have Pittsburgh 5. They have Pittsburgh 2. So what I try to do is just kind of see, and then I look at where there's a discrepancy. So when I'm trying to handicap these games, where is there a margin of my error in them, right? Mm-hmm. And so where could there be a margin of error? Like, I have the Cowboys. This week, I like the Brownies against the Cowboys. Same. I have the Cowboys at 20th. All right, and DVOA has them at 14th. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but Dallas is given 4.5. I thought the line should have been 1. You know, that line opened up at 5, and it went right back to 4.5. So that tells me, I think the people that do the algorithm saw that line was a little too high.
Michael, I had a lot of people asking, so when you do your power rankings or your formula or whatever, that does, and you said it, you take into coaching, you take into turnovers, everything. When you say you have your line at -1 and the line is at -5, when you add up everything, the coaching and quarterback and takeaways and turnovers, is that like out of 100? You still say like the Chiefs are 100 for you and then the Steelers are like in 95, so you think the line should be 5 there? Is that how it works for you?
No, well, it's a little different. So the Chiefs, let's take the Cleveland-Dallas game. I have Cleveland ranked at 288 points. I have Dallas at 274 points. So that the difference between the two is 14 points. Every 16 points is a point.
Oh,
Jesus.
So, yeah, that
are
would
you?
Be...
Hold on. Just so you're saying a lot here, and I may or may not have grabbed some vitamins on the way there. you're trying to create something that
my
just
own lines, Pat. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, you're trying to beat the game. Like you were trying to create something, an algorithm that just beats the game here that we can all just lean on as like, hey, this shit is well versed.
And this guy that won the contest last year, that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. He just went with his numbers and didn't look at it and said, you know what, here's the numbers, I'm going with it. That's what everybody's doing. The guys that are, there's no way you could pick these games emotionally and be right.
Says who?
I mean, you know, you can, but you're going to eventually hit a wall.
Well, no, I don't plan for bad days. You're the one that told me don't plan for bad days ahead or whatever. You said just go ahead and rise.
Well, like, you know, like I had a bad one last week. I didn't think it was it was a bad result, but I don't think I had a bad day. I think I'm still way ahead on my margins in terms of my overall record. So you got to look at that. But the reality here is you got to have a way to handicap these games so you have a sense of it. And then I think what we really have to do for the listeners is play in these injuries, because these injuries, they're all over the league and they're killers. They're killers. And there's so many starters. Like I'll take, for example, here. Let's take two teams that I have based on my power rankings that I have, that DVOA agrees with me, mm-hmm. Indy and Chicago. I thought this game should open up. Now, we don't have there's a neutral field. I thought Indy should be a 6-point favorite. They opened up, it was a pick'em game.
Oh.
Right? The line quickly moved to the Colts at 2.5.
Hold on, 6.2. That means I'm getting 3.5 here.
Yeah.
If we go with Lombardi's line here.
Take the Colts.
I mean, the math,
you take
it
the
adds
Colts,
up.
But here's the only problem, Pat, when you evaluate that. Some of the numbers in Chicago are resulted of Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's a new team because the tripod.
Bears have been great as a home dog, too.
So my first instinct was take Indy, but then you've got to break it down beyond the numbers is my point here.
How many points does Nick Foles account for as opposed to Mitchell Trubisky? You got to be a couple. So this is they're probably lining
up. When you watch the second half of the Chicago-Atlanta game, I mean, he throws an interception that's ruled an interception. It could have gone either way in the end zone. They ruled it a touchdown at first. They made the correct calls an interception. Then he throws another touchdown pass in the end zone that Robinson drops. And then he leads them on three more touchdown drives. I mean, he basically scored almost every possession he had the ball. One possession they punted when he was in the game. They were an entirely different team. So that scares the hell out of me in terms of saying, hey, take the Colts here. Follow me?
Yes. Yeah. And then, because you always talk about it, like, and when you watch Foles play versus Mitchell, Mitchell throws the ball when he sees the receiver open. Foles will throw the ball when the receiver is still covered, knowing that he was going to come open. Which is, I don't know how to bet the Bears now.
Right. So that's why I think. So part of what I've always said to you guys is we have to eliminate games. So I've eliminated Indy Chicago, even though my numbers say I should take Indy. You eliminate it because I don't know where Chicago is with Foles.
Michael, I got a question for you. So,
Jesus, there's a lot into this.
Since you are friends with a lot of people with the Borgata and friends with people out in Vegas, when Vegas sets the line, do they have an algorithm too with all of this stuff in there? Or is Vegas setting the line to where they think they could get money on each side? So, like, they don't actually think it's going to be a three-point game. They think if they make it a three-point game, that's when they're going to get even money on each side.
Right. You remember, the book's making all their money on the VIG. Mm-hmm. Right. So they want to be at the end of the day, the book wants to be 50-50 and just take the VIG home with them. Right. And like, but last week that not only did they make the VIG, which is the tax you pay for the game, they made the eight games that had low money count on them and the public was all over them, that they won 8-1.
Yes.
So they cleaned it up last week. Now, do they do that every week? Probably not. But, like, let's just go down that road. Okay. So right now on Thursday afternoon, less than 20% of the money that the book has taken in, Detroit, Cincy, Cleveland, Giants, Vegas, KC, Philly, Atlanta.
You like any of those?
I mean, I like Vegas, except I'm worried about Vegas's injuries. If you look at that injury list, my God, you know, the Ruggs isn't going to play, Edwards isn't going to play, you know, Aguilar's, you know, they don't have their receivers. I mean, both their tackles are out, the Good and Trent Brown. You know, the other guard's out. I think it's a hard game. It's one of those I want to take them. You know, and then the other thing we got to lay into this too a little bit, we got to lay in the officials.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Because, you know, in that game there, you know, that game is I wrote it down. I have it as a visit. I have it as a home game. Uh-huh. Excuse me. I have it as a visitor's game that the guy refereeing that game, his one loss record is better for the visitors than it is for the home.
Wait a minute. So you think, you think that that particular official is maybe
No, I don't think that. I think his name's Lan Clark. He's been involved. His home record is 16-8 against the spread.
So what are you saying then?
I'm saying that whoever the home team was, they didn't cover 16 times. They covered 18. I mean, they didn't cover 18 times. They covered 16.
Like tonight, Jerome Boger, who is the official for Denver and New York Jets, The under is 0-3.
Record is he's 95-78. He's 14.65 units for the home team.
Wow.
And he's 73-105 on the under.
Can you take that into account? Yeah, he's definitely an over ref. This year he's 3-0 to the over. Can you take that into account when there's no fans in the stands?
I think it's just noise. I think you got to take it into account. Yeah, I don't. I think you got to look at it. Some of these numbers, when you've only done 34 games, you've been a ref for 2 years. It's not a lot of data, but like for Boger, like it's pretty clear the home team is going to get more calls, and we know that there's not a lot of calls in the league right now. We know the penalties are way down.
And the over is going to hit, right, for him?
Well, the over is tied to the penalties. I don't care. The over is – the reason we're hitting so many overs is because they're not calling any penalties.
Yeah, we – and Mike Pereira was on Pat's show this week, and he talked about that there was has been a clear effort for the referees to only call clear and obvious penalties. So, like, if there's any question for them in their head that maybe it could be, maybe it couldn't, just don't call it.
Right, and that's what it looks like. And the game's going fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that we have to take that into account.
Gumpy has some stats on the over-unders, on the totals for us.
Well, you look at it's 50-50 right down the middle. Favorites this year, 24-24 against the spread. Home teams, 24-24 against the spread. Home dogs, 6-6-1 against the spread. I mean, it's right down the middle, Mike. But we were talking about dogs. What do you think of the Lions getting four against the Saints? You think the Saints get on track here? Or?
I'm going to think about it tonight. I'm leaning way towards Detroit in this game. You know, I think New Orleans is. I don't think Breeze is 100%. I really don't. I think when you watch the tape, he's got guys open. He won't throw it now. Michael Thomas is back. Detroit has a lot of injuries. But, you know, I think this – I have this as a – it should have been about a two-point game, and you're going to get Detroit with 4.5. That's kind of – that's one that I lean towards. And plus, it fits, right? Detroit's one of those teams that are under 20%. I don't ever want to be on the side of the public. I never do. I don't want to recommend a game that's on the side of the public.
Mm-hmm. Hey, watching you click your mouse there and look at all your screens, I assume they're in front of you. Have you ever seen Pet Detective, Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
Yeah, I have.
You know when he goes through that like mosh pit and then he goes down the basement and then it's New England clam chowder, is that the red or the white? And there's that Joe Dirt looking guy. He's just, oh, of course I can. And he's typing in his own thing and he's got that. That's what I feel like you're doing.
I got, see?
Look at that. You got what are those called? Those are called something.
Excel spreadsheet.
There it is. That's unbelievable. I love what you're doing.
I do it on an Excel, and then I color code it so that I know what the hell I'm looking at, you know. And then I want to be able to. And I try not to take anybody else's picks into account because you got to try to make your own. You know, you got to come up with your own. But the hard part is these injuries are really taxing. I mean, you really got to stay on top of it.
Do you think GMs are potentially a good pipeline into great gamblers?
I think, you know, if you're like me that really studied pro personnel, you know, then you should be able to handicap games. That's what you do. I mean, that's what I did. Okay, like pick a game. Okay, Tampa's playing the Chargers. The Chargers moved the ball up and down the field against both teams they played. They didn't score. They turned the ball over. You know, their defense rushed the passer well. They played really good. They're getting 7.5 points against the Buck team that the last they played Carolina. You know, Carolina. Now people are saying the reason they're getting 7.5 is because they dominated Carolina and Carolina beat the Chargers. You remember the old Dunkel ratings, Tone? Remember though we had they were started in Pittsburgh.
Was that Italians?
Yeah. One team beats this team. You can't do that in the NFL. So when you handicap it, you look at it and you say, look, the Chargers will put pressure on Brady. They can harass him. They'll break on the ball. They'll tackle well. Now, the problem with the Chargers is they got a ton of injuries, so you're always scared about that. I'll tell you, the other one is the Cowboys. The Cowboys-Browns game. I mean, that game there is – look, go back to the Minnesota-New Orleans game last year. Okay, why do you go back to that game? Well, Stefanski's on the offensive staff for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Mike Nolan's on the defensive staff for New Orleans, right? So they played against you. We've seen it. We watched what Minnesota did. They ran the ball effectively on that scheme. I think they'll run the ball on Dallas.
You touched on it earlier, Mike. It feels like a big teaser weekend with a lot of these spreads.
Yeah, I think the boys, you know, like, I really, like, I it's hard to give out. How do you give out a 13-point as a pick when you're worried about the backdoor cover? I mean, I know Ron Rivera is not interested in backdoor covers. He certainly wasn't last weekend, but it's troublesome. You know, like that's a lot to. But the one thing about the Rams and the one thing about the Rams and the Ravens, they just keep piling it on. They don't ever slow down.
And they're both coming off losses, so you would think that they
bounce back.
It might be a little more bounce back, might be a little more motivation. We're talking about the teasers, so like you could get the Packers down to basically a win against the Falcons, the Niners against the Eagles, and then Utah, the Chiefs against the Patriots, the Rams and the Ravens there, and then maybe the Bucs against Chargers. But the game that you brought up earlier, Chiefs, Patriots. Patriots are going to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs, it's a 7-point game. Patriots are getting 93% of the money, and only 37% of the tickets. Only 7% of the money's on the Chiefs. Do you have a thought on that?
Belichick, anytime he's been a 7-point dog, he's 2-0. Only happened twice in his career.
That makes sense.
All right, so that's probably what I'm going to do. I got to make my super boost for FanDuel. I literally just got a text from FanDuel saying, hey, we need your super boost for this weekend. New England's a 7-point dog.
Yeah, dog, sorry.
He's 2-0 against anytime he's been a touchdown dog or more. He's only been a touchdown dog or more twice since 2004.
How's he do against Andy? Not good, right? I remember that one game where they just blew the doors. That was the first week, though. They didn't really know what team they were. How is he normally against Andy?
You know, Andy always has good success against them. Andy, it's like when I want to think about Sean Payton, always has good success. They know how to move the football on him. But I think if the key is really not going to be, it's going to be, can the Patriots offense control the pace of the game, and can they keep that Chief offense off the field? They've got to be able to have the ball 34 minutes. That's what they did last week against the Raiders.
In the Chiefs-Patriots matchup too, the dog is 4-0 the last four, and the road team is 4-0 the last four as well, Mike.
Interesting.
There you go. I know where you're going, Gump.
Michael, so how does it, when you watch the tape, are the Ravens and the Patriots offense similar at all since the Chiefs just faced the Ravens offense? Does that help them at all against the Patriots?
No, because when the Chiefs play the Ravens, they know they have no drop-back pass game. And that's what I wrote about in The Athletic. See, sometimes when you're a head coach, you have to build your team to beat the teams you know you have to beat, right? And so the Ravens have no drop-back pass game. So that's why when Nick Boyle tripped and they went from first down to second and 20, John Harbaugh was having a heart attack because he knew he was punting the ball back to him, and he was going to go down 14-3.
That was a bad
right?
call, by the way.
And he can't play from behind. And part of the problem is he needed to spend this offseason saying to Greg Roman, look, Greg, we have to have a drop back pass game in this offense. And we're going to have to spend extra 15 minutes a day now, because if we get behind in these playoff games, we got to be able to throw it our way back into them with a good way of doing it. And they lose their identity. They panic. Mm-hmm. And no, the Patriots are completely different. I mean, the Patriots will force you to play base, and they'll try to get you in a base game, get Spagnuolo in a base game, and then what they'll do out of that base game is then try to throw it, limit Spagnuolo's blitzes. Like, for example, Gruden against Buffalo. Gruden will get in formations where he doesn't think McDermott's going to blitz out of and then throw the ball from those. Fair. And then McDermott will probably try to alter, hit what he's play call. That's the chess match. Dallas, for example. Dallas is really bad at defending nickel runs. They're really bad at defending nickel runs. They're 29th in the league in defending nickel runs. So, you know, Cleveland's going to get in that three receiver set, and they're going to run. I mean, here comes Kareem Hunt. Here comes Nick Chubb. Okay, how are you going to play it? If you're not a good nickel run team, you're going to get a lot of nickel runs. So it's not like, oh, we're going to run the ball today. No, what formation are we running the ball out of, and how do we run the ball?
There is such a different level of football
That's
happening.
Why it's the best.
There's just a different level of football. Okay, well, this particular set, McDermott would never blitz out of because his defense can't handle losing anybody in the back end. And then now that we know that we're not getting blitz, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
We're going to run it, right? And so we're going to. So it might be we might get in 22 personnel and say, okay, boom. Why do you think Peyton, when he was in Indy, kept it so simple? Why do you think Marvin Harrison never lined up 2 inches right or left? He always did that because they didn't want movement. They wanted Peyton to read it, and then Peyton was going to get him in the right play. They weren't worried about it. They knew if you came out with base, you were just going to die painfully. You know, if you try to play Peyton's three receiver set in base, you were going to die a painful death. If you came out nickel, he was going to figure a way to run the ball away from the run force, and that was his job to do that. And so he could do it, whether he caught lucky, ringo, whatever he was calling. That's how they did it. And then he knew what blitzes you ran from that sub. He knew that early in the game he was going to get two new blitzes, three new blitzes. He'll figure them out. And then the rest of the game, he knew what they were.
That's what Aaron Rodgers said was recall. Everything, a lot of things is recall at the quarterback position. He said he's even starting to see shit from his second year now that he remembered from then that he's like kind of picked up a little bit.
And so for quarterbacks like Rodgers and Peyton, they don't like a lot of movement. They want to be able to have more time to look at it. They want to be able to say, okay, here. Teams that are really running the game through the coach need movement. They need movement. Okay, so let's take Dwayne Haskins this weekend against Don Martindale. Like, Haskins has really no chance to get him in the right protection. He has no chance to really understand what Martindale's trying to do with his overload pressures. Whereas Mahomes would have been was 9 out of 10 every time. Mm-hmm. So now I'm sitting there. Haskins doesn't protect the football very well. He's going to blitz. They have no ability to separate from Humphrey or Smith or Marcus Peters. Like, where are they going to get points? Where are they getting points?
Golly.
Michael, you bring up Don Martindale. And
is this the book that you wrote, all this shit?
Some of it's in it. I mean, maybe there'll be the next book, too.
Oh, two-time New York Times
bestseller. You bring up Martindale, and, like, the book is out. Not the book is out, but, like, the book is in on Patrick Mahomes that if you blitz him, he is not affected. And the Ravens did it, I think, like, 21 times on Monday night, and they didn't get to him once, and he shredded them. Why? So do the Ravens just think that's the only chance they have? Or?
And Lamar said, right?
This is what people tend to do. This is who we are. We're going to be who we are, right? So yeah. This is what got us here. We're going to do it. And I love Martindale to death. Martindale's I love him to death. But you can't – sometimes there's always an opponent on your schedule that you can't do what you always did. You're going to have to play it left-handed. And look, the week before, how did the Chargers – almost beat the Chiefs and then lose to the Carolina Panthers? Well, the reason is because they can rush Mahomes with two guys, Ingram, who's hurt now, and Bosa, and hit him almost every play. And they make him feel hurried all the time. They're never trying to out-complicate him. They're trying to out-execute him. Whereas Baltimore's trying to play chess with him. The guy's too good. Andy Reid's got that playlist in front of him. You know, he's got too many plays. You can't out-chess a chess guy. Just like you're never going to go outrun, you're never going to beat the Warriors playing up tempo. They're better at it than you are.
And then Lamar Jackson said something about the Chiefs defense, because they're 3-0 against them, mm-hmm. and the Titans defense. I think they mm-hmm. said the same thing about the playoff. Is it all personnel driven on why? Because it's a copycat league. Everybody says it. People go and check what other people are doing and have had success. The Chiefs and the Titans, I think Lamar even said, was a problem or whatever. Is that what everybody is going to try to do, or is that only personnel decision making there?
It's what you can do, right? But I think what happens to Lamar in these games is they panic a little bit. The play calling becomes different. And they know if they punt it back to them, they're going to get behind, and they can't get behind. Whereas this weekend, if they got to punt to Washington, you think they're worried about that at all? They just come out the next series, and even if Washington scores on the opening drive, they figure we'll beat them 41-7. But there's a sense of panic, and then they have no drop-back pass game. And so good coordinators like Belichick and Spagnuolo, they know that. So they're never worried about the quarterback dropping back and throwing it. They know the linebackers have to play at certain depths because here's where they're going to be. They don't want them to get sucked up on play action because that's the only thing they run. Hmm. Like Gruden, for example.
Football is the
Football's
best.
The best.
Everybody knows Gruden. The best way to – Derek Carr loves checkdowns more than anybody.
Did you see the video of them doubling the checkdown?
Well, he really didn't double the checkdown. He in and out the checkdown, right? So what he did was he took Waller away, right? And then as soon as he knew the next person he was coming back to was the back. Because most teams wouldn't in and out the back. But Rashard was in the backfield. He was in an off split. They in and out them, you know. And so if he goes right, I got him. If he comes inside, you got him. You know, they didn't really double him. It was bracket. And so they knew he was going to throw the ball to him. And he saw two guys standing over there. And now he doesn't know what to do with the ball. That's how you make a team play left-handed. Whereas Baltimore is trying to run their scheme. And, you know, Baltimore should have played. They should have played their zones, rallied to the football, make Mahomes in third down, tackle the talent, play really good in the red zone.
Damn, I feel like I've learned so much.
And that's why football's the best, and that's why you got to tune into the show, because Mr. Lombardi will teach you some things. All right, let's get into the game tonight. Pat, since you have the best record currently, you have the honors. Who would you like to go first? Would you like Mr. Lombardi to go first?
Yeah, I'll go last.
Michael, go ahead. Kick us off. You got anything for tonight?
I have this game as a pick 'em, you know, and I think, look, I like Mark Rippon. He played for us in Cleveland. His nephew, Brent, I can't imagine that, you know, a kid who's never really played is going to against any pro defense. I'm going to take the Jets. I think Sam Darnold, they played poorly last week. I'll take the Jets, and I'm just going to go with the better quarterback in the game.
Okay, the Jets are currently getting 61% of the money on 46% of the tickets. Jets opened as 2.5-point dogs. They're now it went to 1.5. I got it back at -1 now. I'm going to be an idiot, and I'm going to take the under here.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
The under, it was at 41 today. What is it now?
40.
I got it at 40.5. I'm a big under guy, even, and it's killed me a little bit this year because the scoring is way up. There's 9 games this week over 50 as far as scoring, but both of these teams average under 15 points a game. Denver's yards per rush is 24th, and the Jets' defense is actually 14th in that. And then the Jets' yard per rush is 30th, and the Denver defense is 7th. So there's an advantage for both there. Same thing in yards per pass. Denver's 29th, and the Jets are 30th, and the defenses are better in both of that. The unders have been getting crushed this year, but they're 5-5, I believe, in prime time. So I'm just going to say that the defenses are better here than the offenses, and I'm going to go under the 40.5.
Wow, that's a good decision there.
I mean, I love unders, but this year they've been getting crushed. But I think this is a classic Thursday night under game.
Yeah, you just like good solid defense. I do. Right.
And bad quarterback play.
Broncos 19-8-1 to the under their last 28-2. Cool. Tony. Cool.
Is that what you're going with?
Nope.
What are you going with?
Taking the Broncos and the points.
Oh, how many points did you get? 1.5?
Yep. Broncos 2-1 against the spread this year. Surprisingly, 10-3 against the spread their last 13 Thursday games, and 5-2 against the spread their last 7 against the Jets. Give me the Broncos. Give me the points.
Gumpy loves his trends. Pat?
I don't know, and I don't want to pull the old.
You don't have to.
I don't want to make a pick because I'm at the top of the mountain, but let me tell you why I'm at the top of the mountain, because I make fucking picks. I'm going with the Broncos, okay? I'm going with the Broncos with the points and the under. I'll take both of those as my picks for tonight.
Michael, is there a coaching advantage here on either side?
You know, I don't think – I mean, look, I think Greg Williams is going to be a really challenge for Brett Rippon to handle. I mean, you know, he's going to do some things to a young quarterback and make him have to change the protections. And, you know, I mean, the first drive of the game will be the best drive Brett Rippon has because it'll be scripted. Yep. But then once we get into some other things, you know, I think it'll be a little bit more. And look, Vic does a really good job with his defense. I mean, they've lost Jarrell Casey inside a defensive tackle. So now they don't have Von Miller. Now they don't have Jarrell Casey. You know, the Jets are not very good, but Darnold's got to play better. You know, I'm just going to go with the better quarterback. I mean, it's a lean for me. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. But for me, I think that Greg Williams will try to turn this ball over. And when you play a rookie quarterback on the road, I worry on Thursday night, I wonder what that record is.
I have a question for you about the scripted plays. Why are they always so much better than everything else? Because I've always asked this question because I don't think – Peyton was ever scripted. I don't think he ever had a scripted play there. I assume Andrew and B.A. or Andrew and Shoddy or whoever was calling plays throughout his entire career. I assume, and Pep Hamilton, I assume they had a scripted thing. But it never made sense to me because I was obviously never in any of those scripted plays. I would come in during the scripted play sometimes, but it was in scripted prehand or whatever. So why is the scripted play always seem to be more successful? And why don't they just fucking do that? Why don't we just continue to do that?
Because most of the time, the defense on the first 10 or 15, they just kind of want to see what the offense is up to. And so, like, when you had Peyton was the great counterpuncher of all time.
Yeah.
He was Wilfred Benitez. He could counterpunch, but he wanted to see what you were doing, and he knew what he was going to get to, right? And the script is allows you – the whole concept, the whole origin of the script was script a way to score on the first drive. Get ahead of the game. Play from in front. Take shots down the field, you know, really get your best 15 runs or best 15 plays you have for the week. And then what happens is you run out of plays, you know. All of a sudden you're like, where was that, you know? And then the defense adjusts and you keep at, well, what happened to that script? Why didn't we just keep running it? Well, because you used it, you know. I think there should be a script for the second half. We, Belichick and I, always talked about second half game plans. Those are the most important, you know. Show them something especially if you get an O-line coach who needs to coach his guys, you know, on a blackboard or on a grease board, where he's not really good at making sideline adjustments. Hey, if we got this, we got to slide this down tighter, to, you know, and then you make them think about something in the locker room. If you give them a halftime to sort it out, they got time. If you don't, and they got to do it on the sideline, they'll figure it out on Monday, but they ain't going to figure it out on Sunday.
You see what they did to us was, and if we ever see it again.
Hey, everybody's got an answer on Monday. Oh, yeah, we just need to do this. We could have slid, you know, the mic needs to hang, you know, we need a chip here. I mean, it's like Zach Taylor. I mean, Schwartz is, he's going to get his quarterback killed.
Killed.
1,000%.
Killed.
1,000%. Michael, thank you so much for everything today.
Great brain out of you today.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yeah. See you tomorrow, Michael. This is
unbelievable.
This is great because not only do you get winners from that table over there.
Thank you.
That's what we do. But you also, you learn a lot of football
knowledge,
from Michael.
Tony.
From knowledge. Knowledge is power in this game. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, 3:30, right here on the YouTube. We will give out all of our picks for the weekend. I believe there's a couple people left in Survivor. I don't know exactly who they are.
Nick and Connor.
Well, hopefully one of them loses so we can start that thing back up.
Who do you think is going to win that?
Nick. Connor's good.
He's still in it. I mean, there's only two people left. There's only two people left, and he's one of them. So you got to give him credit there.
Yeah, I did.
No!
Backhanded.
He didn't feel like it, yeah.
I think Nick's going to win.
All right. I'm not picking a winner there. You know what? I'm like they did on Monday.
Hats off.
Yeah, hats off to both of them.
Seriously,
for surviving.
Hey. We were out week one because of fucking Colts. Number one team in the league, Colts.
Yeah, number one defense in the league, they say. Fucking Gardner Minshew.
That Colts-Bears line is worrisome.
I'm not betting it.
Yeah, we'll talk about some worrisome lines again tomorrow. All the picks, where the money's at, all that good stuff. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends.
Yeah.
And as Pat says, if you don't,
literally never happened.
Keep it moving.
Don't worry about it. How you doing? Keep it moving.
Big how you doing? Keep it moving show.
Hammer Dot. See you tomorrow.
Oh, hold on. Gumpy, please do it one time like on these Gumpy nukes.
Hammer Dot.
A little bit more emphasis on the down there. I like that.
I know. I've been getting it on the internet for it.
Because you've been kind of selling out. It's been like, Hammer Dot. Like, come on, bro.
I'm moving too fast.
Yeah, he does. He's got a molasses.
You do got quick moves, dog.
All right. See you tomorrow. Hammer Dot.